This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Proverbs 10 with the way of the Lord and then head back to Genesis chapters 37 and 38, picking up with Joseph's dreams, Joseph betrayed, Joseph sold, and Judah, and Onan. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent to their sufferings and death, of your
upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
be with you.
And with our spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and always ready to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and give us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tithe of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. When the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God.
Dearly beloved, a Pharisee and a tax collector went up to the temple to pray. The temple, the place of sacrifice and atonement, the place of prayer and praise, the place of the priest's blessing. And we have come up to this temple to pray, this chapel, the place where Christ's all-atoning sacrifice on the cross is proclaimed, the place where his body and blood are tendered to you, the place of forgiveness and justification. Since we are here then, let us avoid the Pharisees' sin and become instead humble tax collectors before our God. And then with Paul, let us hold on to a good conscience. So now please give your attention to these two things, the Pharisees' sin and Paul's good conscience. What was the Pharisee's sin? All the things that he lists here are good. Avoiding extortion and adultery, doing fasting and tithes. Under the right conditions, not only are these not bad, they're even good works, not sins. So what was his sin? Was his problem that he thought he had done something good? That he included his good deeds in his prayer? Perhaps it's wrong to thank God for good works. Perhaps any awareness of your own good works leads straight to pride and works righteousness. So if I think I did a good work, if I thank God for his grace that I'm living a Christian life and fighting the good fight, is that a sin straight away? Is that the sin of the Pharisee? What was the Pharisee's sin? The Lord Jesus tells us he trusted in himself that he was righteous and treated others with contempt. Trust in one's own works and contempt toward others, exalting oneself above others as though I am better than others, to that the Lord says no. That was the Pharisee's sin. His sin was not the doing of good things, nor the awareness of doing good things, but trusting in himself. Paul was not sinning, nor lying, when he said that he had fought the good fight. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Paul speaks of what he has done. He is aware of his good fight. He knows he has run the race. He thinks he has kept the faith. And he hopes for the crown of righteousness. That is the testimony of Paul's good conscience. First, he says, I have fought the good fight, namely against his adversaries and detractors, against the devil, the world, and his sinful nature. He is part of the church militant. He fights. Luther explains the connection between this fighting and the good conscience. Luther wrote, the saints still have evil desires in the flesh, which they do not follow. As long as grace rules, the conscience remains free and coerces the sin in the flesh. But without grace, it rules, and the law damns the conscience. So with a good conscience, Paul has fought the good fight. He is not free from sin, but he has fought against it, and he has not surrendered. Paul then says he has finished the race. That is, he has come to the end of his life. He's ready to die. As he writes to the Corinthians, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So that's running the race. And then he says, I have kept the faith. That is, he has persevered with his faith in Christ and has remained loyal to Christ. As he says elsewhere to Timothy, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, that you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. So Paul says he fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. He said it, and we should not think that it's wrong to say so. So then, how is Paul different than the Pharisee? Paul in our text is not boasting. He's not exalting himself. In fact, how often did Paul humble himself? He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he said, I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. He does not exalt himself. When he did boast to the Corinthians, it was in foolishness against the claims of the false apostles to bolster his ministry. And even then, he said, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. So in our text today, Paul is not boasting. Instead, his good conscience says, I have kept the faith. As he told the Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. He's not exalting himself or claiming any merit, but he says that he is a believer, that he has not wickedly fallen away from his God, but rather that he has fought the good fight and run the race, not by his own excellence, but as he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So consider now, not just how the Pharisee and the tax collector went up to the temple to pray, but also how Paul went up to the temple to pray. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The Pharisee thinks he stands, but actually has fallen. The tax collector knows he has fallen and prays for forgiveness so that he may stand. Paul knows he stands, but takes heed lest he fall. The Pharisee trusts in himself that he is righteous. The tax collector trusts in God to make him righteous. Paul trusts in God to keep him in Christ's righteousness. The Pharisee has a secure or a seared conscience. The tax collector has a guilty conscience, but prays for a good conscience. Paul has a good conscience, and he knows it. Dearly beloved, be justified like the tax collector, and then hold a good conscience like Paul. Do not exalt yourself like the Pharisee, but on the other hand, do not despair like Judas. Instead, fight the good fight, run the race, and keep the faith. Paul was a believer, and so are you. Paul was aware of his good fight and his good running, and you should be too. You can and should be aware of your new life in Christ. You can and should be aware that you are fighting the good fight intentionally. You should be aware of the new life of faith, hope, and love that is growing in you. I'm going to give some examples. A Christian woman remembers how she used to be an unbeliever and notices differences in herself between now and then. Again, a man is mocked for his Christian faith and ethics, yet he is strengthened by his conscience to carry on and persist. He praises God for this strength. Again, a man used to be addicted to pornography, but with God's help and the support of his friends, he has successfully resisted temptations for years. He thanks God for this. Being aware of these good things does not mean trusting in them for salvation, nor does it mean claiming any kind of perfection. Being aware of your good fight and your good running means that you know that you believe in Christ. You notice that God has made you alive by the Holy Spirit. You are happy that by God's grace you have begun to live a life of Christian faith, hope, and love. The Pharisee's sin was trusting in himself and holding others in contempt. But Paul trusted in God even while he spoke of having fought the good fight. We should see ourselves both in the tax collector and in Paul, both repenting of our many sins and knowing that we are growing in the faith, hope, and love that the Holy Spirit has given to us. Here in the temple is the preaching of God's will, Christ's cross, and the Spirit's work for you. Here is the place of justification. Now may he who has begun a good work in you bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Keith, the son of seminarian David, and Susie Hart as he undergoes surgery tomorrow morning. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the entire number of the baptized, that trusting in the Lord for every need, we may rejoice in his bountiful provision for our souls and bodies,
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and servants of the word, that our loving Father would pour out on them the gift of his Spirit for the work to which he has called them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace among the nations, for good and wise leaders in our country, for faithful and caring civil servants, for well-prepared and effective teachers in our schools, for new and useful scientific research, and for the development of new and beneficial technologies, that our lives in this world may be peaceable and well-ordered, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor and needy, those in prison, the unemployed, and all who are burdened or downcast, that God in his mercy would cheer their hearts and grant them relief and comfort, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, including Keith, that in Christ's embrace they would experience healing according to his good and gracious will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who approach the Lord's table this day, that in the eating and drinking of the Lord's body and blood they may find perfect healing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever and ever.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.